In this podcast, I speak with James Dennis of the AV unit here at Sheffield Hallam about the Edit Suite facilities for staff and students who are interested in working with digital audio. Talk about the Edit Suite. So you've actually put quite a lot of work into establishing those. Whereabouts are they?
They're based on level 3 of the Owen building, 324. There's two down at Collegiate Crescent as well in the Learning Centre there. And mainly they were set up for editing video, but obviously you need to record voiceovers on your video and things like that. And then with the popularity of audio recordings, podcasts and video podcasts as well now, you can actually go and use them for recording an audio podcast if you wish, which you can plug up to 4 microphones in, and you get a room that's just quiet away from everybody else, that's lockable, and decent recordings can record straight onto the computer and you can edit them afterwards if you wish.
So from the general user's point of view, we've got some rooms.
Sure.
How plug and play are they?
Yeah. In each room, there's a laminate thing for inputs, what to check, switches switched on and everything like that. There's a certain degree, obviously, as you know, with setting levels up. So, but most things are set near enough to the right gain. It's basically just watch the level on the screen, and if you're going into the red above the 0 dB, then just leave it, just bring it down a touch. It depends on how well the user is with software on that. So if it's an audio software, if they've used, say Audacity, the Audacity's on there, or there's a basic QuickTime recorder, which is just press record and it does the rest for you. So it's whatever level you want to go in at. Because if you want to just record an audio file, you've got it straight in, just do it. You can just record it in, or if you wanted to actually edit afterwards, chop things out, add things in, maybe bring other interviews in or shows in between. So if you've got recordings, other audio recordings, you can queue them up as a radio show type scenario. You can do all that in the Edit Suite, so you can take it away in whatever format you wish, really, because Windows Media, QuickTime, Reel, standard MP3, audio, WAV, audio, CD. They're fully networked as well, so you can access drives, put them on your home space, or upload them onto a teaching server, say, anything like that.
So we've talked quite a lot about the actual recording and capture of voices in particular, but there is a certain amount of work you can do in post-production.
Yeah,
and you've
definitely.
Just been talking about some of that.
Yeah, if your recordings are recorded too low, It's not the end of the world, because you can boost the levels up and give it extra boosting level and normalisation, which brings everything. If certain peaks are too high and certain peaks are too low, you can bring them up to similar levels. Add effects. If people stuttering starting, you can actually chop those bits out, almost edit it to make it sound a better conversation.
Well, I believe you're doing that.
But the big
thing that I've found that Audacity doesn't do very well is noise reduction.
Yeah.
So that is a process of sampling a little bit of noise that you've recorded and saying wherever you have this noise in the whole file, strip it right out.
Yeah.
Right under the voices and everything.
Yeah.
That can be a bit of a lifesaver, but can be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And Audacity doesn't really support it very well.
No. I mean, Audacity is open source, which is great, because it gets you straight in there and you can record with it. But some of the features, like you say, are not on the pro stuff or the actual bought stuff.
So what pro software are?
We've got Soundtrack Pro, which is very similar to SoundForge.
Right. So that's a Mac-based software?
Yeah, it's Mac-based software.
Are the other suites all Mac-based?
Yeah, they're all Mac-based, but the software on them is very similar to what you get on a PC nowadays. So there's not much cross between.
So if it's Mac-based, I would imagine that would worry a lot of people.
Yeah. You get that when people come in. They suddenly see it and go, what the hell do I do with this? But simple process is you just log in as yourself. You're thrown up on the desktop. And it takes myself or my colleague 5 minutes to show
the
basic principle of it. The basic principles of doing a recording, if you're going into a recording, is just to check you've got a signal from each microphone, your levels.
It's more using a Mac, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, most people adapt to that quickly, do they?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, people worry about it more. It does more for the than you think. Finding your way around, it's just, in a way, PC sticks everything on the left, Mac sticks a lot of things on the right, but opening up the software and finding out the problem or where the inputs are, it's all laid out simply. The icons are clear, it's a sound, it's a speaker, you know, you can find the inputs, and even it shows you the levels going in on the screen. The same, there's no different, real different words for recording or play or edit or chop or cut, delete, you know.
In fact, you know, the whole thing about audio editing is it's remarkably simple.
It is,
even if you
want
to do a few clever things, it's very simple, isn't it? Yeah. I always say it's easier than what you do when you edit Word documents.
Definitely, definitely.
You know, there's so few things and that you actually
the fact that
do.
You can zoom right in and as bad as it can make adapt people's words to sound different and say something else, and that works really well, because somebody, you can record a whole conversation and you realise, hang on, I've just spoke too many words to mean one thing. You can just take all that out, strip it down, and without having to record anything in again, or you could just record that snippet in and just plonk that,
paste it in,
as long as you are in the same environment and the conditions, it won't sound any different.
I keep saying this, and at the end of the day I think people have just got to try it, but the message is generally this sort of stuff is very easy to do. You were just saying also about you're still working on the edit suites, looking at putting in some sound buffering.
The one we found, I mean, they've only been up and running in the new area since February really, and we found a close miking is fine, but sometimes the situation is just a bit reflective in there, with just like hard surfaces, painted walls, so just doing some sort of foam treatment, just some foam panels to stick on the walls, just to bring the sound and absorb some of the reflections.
And that's generally a useful thing to bear in mind if you're in a room somewhere else. You know, if there are curtains to be closed,
sit in front of the curtains, being
it can soften the reflections, and also maybe cut out some of the sound from outside if there
definitely
is any. And you know,
as with the people in the room, if the room
people,
is full of
furniture,
people,
it's anything all irregular.
So
go for a big cluttered store cupboard rather than a kitchen
cardboard boxes.
Right, okay, thanks James.
Sorry.
Thanks very much to James Dennis from our AV department. If you would like to get in touch with me, you can email the podcast at lta-podcast@shu.ac.uk, and you can visit the show notes for the podcast at http://ltapodcast.blogspot.com. Thank you very much for listening.